Last week we began a sermon titled, How's Your Love Life? Taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we looked at verse 13, the last verse of that chapter, where Paul mentioned three attributes of the Christian life, those being faith, hope, and charity or love. But he said love is the greatest of these, or the most important. We looked at the importance of faith and the importance of hope. We found that they're both very important. As a matter of fact, they're absolutely necessary for a Christian. Without them, you cannot be a Christian. But Paul tells us that love is more important than either one of those. So this morning I want to focus a little bit more on love. We're going to begin at the first verse of chapter 13. Not sure how far we'll get, but we're going to look at what Paul says about love. This is what we refer to as the love chapter of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And beginning in verse 1, Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I'm become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Paul, in these first three verses, speaks of man's effort without the reality of God's love as the motive. And we know that man's effort without the reality of God's love is meaningless, and Paul explains that to us in these first verses there, where he tells us, first of all, without love, words are nothing. They're meaningless. They're just a noise. It don't matter how eloquent you are in your speech. You might be able to find the perfect words at the perfect time. But if you don't have love, those words become meaningless. Paul said you're just a meaningless noise. He mentions a couple things. First of all, a sounding brass. Sounding brass was a gong that was used back in that day, and it just makes a noise. You hit it, and it makes a gong noise. There's no musical rhythm or rhyme or sound. You can't play a song on a gong, you know. It's just a noise. And so he uses two there, the gong and the tinkling cymbal. The Greek word for gong literally means noisy brass. Now, we're not as familiar probably with the gong as we are the cymbals. We see cymbals used quite often, usually with a set of drums. Someone's playing a set of drums, they usually have the cymbals, and they'll hit those cymbals every now and then. And they make a noise, but I've never heard anybody play a song on cymbals. Maybe I've lived a sheltered life, maybe you have, but I've never seen anybody play a song on cymbal. I've heard a lot of cymbals being played along with music, but there's no music made by cymbals. It complements the music that's being made, but in and of itself, neither of those will make any meaningful sound. They just make a noise. And that's what our words are worth, according to Paul, without love. They're meaningless. Just a bunch of noise. Bunch of racket. You know? That mean nothing. And so it don't matter how great a spokesperson you are and how educated you are on using the right words at the right time. I'm way far from that. I struggle sometimes with just getting a simple little word to try to explain what I want, the point I want to get across. Well, I've talked to people that have very eloquent speech. They can speak so fluently and beautifully and just paint a picture with their words. Paul said it don't matter how good they are. If they don't have the love of Christ, then all that is meaningless. So, without love, words are nothing. Secondly, without love, all the gifts are nothing. Paul said, do I have the gifts of prophecy? Prophecy ranked high in Paul's listing of the gifts. But he said, even though I have the gift of prophecy, it's nothing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, Paul wrote these words to the church at Corinth. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets. So they were second in line in Paul's thought. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So we see that the gift of prophecy was important to Paul. When he mentioned that gift of prophecy, that gift was important to him. But without Paul, without love, Paul said the gift of prophecy is nothing. Even if a man has the gift of discernment, to be able to discern, understand mysteries, and has all knowledge. We have some examples of those in Scripture. Daniel was one of those. Remember, Daniel interpreted some dreams even when the king refused to tell what the dream was. God gave Daniel the ability to tell the king what the dream was and then interpret the dream for him. But Paul said, even if I have that gift of discernment, to be able to discern those things and understand mysteries and have all knowledge, if I have all that but do not have love, I'm still nothing. Love is important. He went on to say, if I had all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. Faith, another one of those things that we talked about last week, is so important. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible tells us as believers, we must have faith. And we exercise that faith. Without faith, you cannot become a Christian because you can't believe that Jesus died on the cross. Without faith, you weren't there to see it. So it takes faith to believe that. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So faith is paramount in importance. But Paul said, even faith, if you have the greatest amount of faith, but you don't have love, that faith is meaningless. It will get you nowhere. It's worth nothing without love. Thirdly, he says, without love, all your good deeds are nothing. There in verse number 3, he said, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to the poor. Many people are depending on their good deeds, their good works, to get them to heaven. I've talked with people all along. Talked with one yesterday afternoon that mentioned how she tries to do good always. You know, be a good person, be the best you can. And I said, that's great. Won't get you to heaven. You know, nothing will get you to heaven except a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So all of our deeds, our good deeds, everything we do, you can give everything you got to the poor. But if you don't have love, then it means nothing. There are a lot of people that do a lot of good things for the wrong reason. A lot of people do a lot of good things. They give a lot for personal recognition, you know, to get their name up in lights, to get their name in the paper, on the news, wherever. And they'll give and try to build a name for themselves. The motives are wrong because it's not done because of love. When love is missing, it don't matter what you do. It's useless. It's useless. When asked which is the great commandment, Jesus replied in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37-38, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." So not only can you not get into heaven without love, everything you do is useless, meaningless. And so, we see that love is important. All these other things lose their value if there's not love. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, speaking of motives, why we do what we do, he said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly." So, we see that it doesn't matter how much we know. It don't matter how much we do. If we don't have love, it's absolutely meaningless. Without love. Love is important. It is important. Because, well, without love, you cannot be a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, then it's all meaningless, really. It's going to lead you to eternal destruction. That's the choice you've made. And so, in those first three verses, we saw where Paul used the word "I" and all those. He said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or as tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. There are those who go through some tremendous suffering. They do it for personal recognition without love. He said, though I offer my body to be burned, without love, it's meaningless. But he used I in those three, first three verses. But then he uses love as a subject in the next several verses. As I mentioned earlier, the first three verses speak of man's efforts without the reality of God's love as the motive. Motive is important in what we do. We can do some great things with wrong motives and lose out on the reward. If our motive is not love, then the reward is not there. As a matter of fact, Jesus speaking there, answering that Pharisee lawyer that asked him that question about the first commandment or the great commandment, he basically said, if you do it for the praise of man, you better enjoy the pat on the back, because that's all the praise you get. There's no heavenly reward for those things. All you're going to get is that recognition of man, which is meaningless. That's not going to get you to heaven. And so we need to make sure what the motive is for what we do. So then Paul begins in verse number 4 to tell us, to describe love. He describes a godly love. Beginning in verse 4, he tells us what love does and what love does not do. He begins by saying that love suffereth long, it's long-suffering, and is kind. Love is patient. It's slow to anger. That's what long-suffering means. Patient. Don't get angry quickly. Patience is sensitivity to others that helps them in their times of difficulty. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible tells us that the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to uswards. He's patient with us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Aren't you glad that God's a patient God? If God were not patient with us, we would be in a terrible fix. I'm thankful that God's a patient God. He's a long-suffering God. He's patient with us. And He demonstrates His love towards us in that patience, long-suffering. In James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, wherefore, my loved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. What is James telling us? Be patient. Be long-suffering with people. Be patient with people. You know, a lot of times we encounter someone and things may kind of hit us the wrong way, and you don't know what that person is going through at that particular time. And a lot of times, if you find out what that person is going through, what that person's enduring, it changes your whole attitude toward that person, because you understand more why that person may have reacted like they did. But if we're not patient with them, we don't ever get to the point that we ever find that out so that we can really be sympathetic with them. We can be compassionate with them. But if we're patient, if we wait patiently and love them in spite of their circumstance situation, then we may find out why they're reacting like they are, and we'll understand it a whole lot better. You know, you don't know what that person is going through. You don't know what that person's home life's like. You don't know what they're going through on their job or wherever. And a lot of times people react out of character because of circumstances that they're involved in. They're going through some difficult times. So we need to be patient. We need to be long-suffering with them. We need to be slow to anger. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." Patience. Patience is a virtue. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering." Part of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Not only is love patient with others, it gives kindness without expecting a reward. Paul said, "Their charity suffereth long and is kind." It's kind. And so, it is kind to others without expecting a reward. It acts kindly because kindness is love in action. Patience involves self-restraint. Kindness involves self-expression. Kindness is rich affection that never wavers in its devotion to others, and is not discouraged by their failures or bitter because of their ingratitude. Kindness treats people right, whether they get treated right from them or not. So, even when somebody treats you unkind, love, the kindness of love, will cause you to treat them kind anyway. Be compassionate with them anyway, without having to have their gratitude back to you. Colossians chapter 2, I believe, verse 12 and 14. "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity," or love, "which is the bond of perfectness." And so, we see that kindness is an attribute of love, God's love. That is chapter 3, by the way. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on love, which is a bond of perfectness. Forgiving one another, that's a hard one for some of us. Let me tell you how important forgiveness is. The Bible is very clear that without forgiveness, you can get no forgiveness. If you're not willing to forgive those who have wronged you, then you need not ask God for forgiveness. Because He said that if you're not willing to forgive others who have wronged you, you will not be forgiven. Is it important that we forgive? Absolutely. Is it important that we show kindness? Absolutely. It is. Is it important that we're patient with others? Yes, certainly it is. Then he goes on to say, not only does charity or love suffer long, it's long-suffering, it's patient, it's also kind, and it envieth not. It's not envious or jealous of others, but rather thankful when others are blessed. Instead of being jealous of what somebody else got, the blessing somebody else received, or how good it looks that someone else is doing, instead of being envious of them and jealous of them, love is thankful for that for them. We're thankful that that person is being blessed. We're taught by Scripture to put the needs of others ahead of our own needs. That's a hard thing for some of us to do. I don't know. It seems to me like it's getting to be less and less common as the years go by. You know, in years past, it seems that we had more people that were always willing to step up and provide for someone when there was a need. You know, we have a family that's in need, and people stepped up. I remember when I was just a boy, that wasn't long ago, if the neighbor's crop needed to be plowed, and the neighbor was sick and not able to take care of his crop, he didn't have to worry about it. Why? Because the neighbors took care of it. The neighbors would come and they'd plow his crops. They'd take care of them. If the neighbor's barn burnt, then the neighbors came together. They loaded up lumber and tools, and they came together and they rebuilt the barn. Where's that gone? When's the last time you saw that? Try to hire somebody to do those things now. It's not easy to hire someone to come take care of the things that need to be taken care of when you become sick and unable to take care of them. There's a great need for this love in action. And I'm afraid we've lost a lot of that. I know, being involved in several volunteer opportunities, how hard it is to get people to volunteer to do anything. Everybody's busy. I'm not busy. I don't have much to do. You know, I'm glad to do it. I'm thankful God has given me the ability to do what I can do. Because there are a lot of people that have had a birth certificate as long as I've had my birth certificate that are not able to do the things that God has blessed me to be able to do. And I'm thankful for that. And there's a great joy in being able to help people. I remember as a little boy, we built a little church over, matter of fact, it's Beaver Creek Free Will Baptist Church. I remember as a little boy when we'd gather on Saturdays, all the men bring their tools, and they'd work. Those of us who were younger would tote material. We'd clean up. All the women would prepare a meal, and at lunchtime they'd have a spread there. Men would quit working for a little while. We'd all eat. Some of the best fellowship. You know, you get to know the people you go to church with. You get to know the people of the community. And a lot of those people that were there were not people that went to church there. Some of them didn't go to church. But they were a part of that community, and they came together and worked together and served together. Nobody got paid for coming. Yes, we did. But the rewards are heavenly rewards, not monetary. We had a great time. We got to know our neighbors. We got to know the people we went to church with. We spent time together. What a great time. You know how hard it is to get that now? It's tough. Because everybody's too busy trying to get ahead. And they don't have time for anybody else because I'm number one, you know. I got to take care of number one. Well, I'm sorry, that's not God's way. God's way is to put others first. Love is not envious. It's not jealous of others. It's thankful when others are blessed. Jesus certainly set the example of putting others first when he walked this earth. It was always about somebody else. It was never about him. It was always about meeting the needs of somebody else. And then the ultimate demonstration of that when he hung on that cross and he gave up the ghost after suffering beyond recognition because he loved you and me. He didn't do that for himself. He didn't have any sin to be forgiven. But he put us ahead of himself. We need to start following that example and putting others ahead of ourselves. Love is not envious. It's not puffed up. It don't brag. Not boastful. Some people have an eye disease. You ever talk to somebody who's got an eye disease? I'm not talking about the fact they can't see in their conversation. I did this. I did that. I did something else. If it wasn't for me, this would never have come to pass. Don't you love to talk to somebody who's got the eye disease? All about them. Never do they mention anything that anybody else has done good. The only time they mention somebody else is when somebody needs to be blamed for something that was done wrong. And then it's never I then. It's always they. But if it's anything positive, I did it. That's not love. love vaunteth not itself. It's not boastful. It don't brag. It don't toot its own horn. If you do something worth talking about, let somebody else talk about it. Okay? Don't go bragging about it yourself. Matter of fact, if you did it, you only did it because God gave the ability to do it. So give God the glory for what was done. Love. How's your love life? I don't know how long it takes us to get through this. Because this is important stuff. Love is important. The most important, when it's more important than faith and hope, love is important. And I think it's important for us to learn and understand what love really is and what it means. Father, we love you. God, I thank you so much for loving me. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us such a great example of what love really is. Lord, as we continue to go through this study of Paul's description and teaching us of what love is, as he taught the church at Corinth, Lord, help us to get a grasp on what love really is. Lord, not just to learn what it is, but put it in practice, to begin to live that lifestyle. Father, thank you for your love. And Lord, thank you that if we'll repent of our sins, we'll trust you, you'll come live in our hearts. You'll help us to be able to live that life of love. If there's one here today who's never experienced that, I pray that Holy Spirit deal with that heart. Whatever need exists in this place right now, Father, we just ask that you would convict and draw to yourself, that we'll not leave here without making a decision that you've drawn us to make this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. Song says, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, not because of anything I've done, not because of my works, my good deeds, but I come just like I am, an unworthy sinner, needing your forgiveness and your grace and your forgiveness. Here today and you've never trusted him to be your Savior, allow him to become Lord of your life, I beg and plead with you to do that today. Could be your last opportunity. If there are other needs, God's here to meet those.